Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
That's not going to get it done in the Big Ten.
You're right, Tim. It is not going to get it done. Welcome to Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. Plenty to get into today. Lots of Nebraska basketball. You're not surprised they lost. You're probably not surprised that's how they lost. What you're shocked about, though, is that the madness, the drought, the shooting issues continue. We'll spend some time on it. You can join us here on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800, 825-5865. Find us on Twitter. Give us a follow at Schmidt underscore radio, at Two Birds, One Stone, and at Hail Varsity. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Okay, Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Stars coming up here in 15 minutes. A little football. And we might delve into some hoops with Parker. He's a sports dude. Coming up in 1 hour, Bo Reed, Nebraska Basketball Hall of Famer. He will assess this six-game losing streak of Nebraska, the Tim Miles situation. What the hell's up with Nebraska offensively? The obvious is they're not shooting well. I get it. Why? They're college basketball players. They're Division I. They were 11-2. They were ranked. They were a four seed. And now, I guess, man, there's still some places out there that have them in as the very last team in the dance. No way. Absolutely not. So we'll hear from Bo Reed. Brandon Vogel going to be with us at 5:25. Great to be with you. Okay, Tim Miles, postgame. There's so much to get to. Okay, there's the shooting of Nebraska. There's getting beat by 15, a hapless road team in Maryland. Okay, there's the 21% from the floor. You're going the wrong way with points scored. You had a smaller fan base and turnout last night, 10,000 and change, right? Energy was nowhere near what it's usually like at Pinnacle Bank Arena, and I'm not going to blame the weather on this. I'm going to say the Nebraska basketball fans have seen enough and said so last night. Wind chill and temperature makes that decision real easy, whether or not to go to Pinnacle Bank Arena and watch Nebraska play a ranked Maryland team that is beatable and you should have already beat, but you didn't. So we can go there with Nebraska. We can get into a bigger question as to philosophy and as the coach, why is your offense continually this bad? Why do you let it continue to be this bad? And we'll get into some more about the no call, the no review between Bruno and Tanner. The non-stomp stomp that wasn't reviewed and cost Nebraska a bucket, momentum, and then a technical. And the other question I have, why in the hell are you sitting, why are you sitting Thomas Allen? Okay. Why, of all people to sit, why are you sitting Thomas Allen? Has he been great? No. Has he been awful? Absolutely not. Is he the problem? Hell no. Do I need to get in to Glenn Watson's statistics? This isn't pile on the senior, scapegoat the senior. But if you're going to sit a guard, and I don't care, I want to hear about it. Well, we need a spark. Well, let Glenn be your spark. Because what he's giving you as a starter right now is water on that fire. You don't want to mess with your sophomore's head. Your seniors should be able to take it. They obviously aren't able to. Nebraska's a mental mess. Let's go to the phones. Moose is going to chime in. Moose, did you go last night?
I did indeed. We don't miss unless it's an extreme emergency.
Okay.
I got a couple things. I'm okay with getting Thor in there because he seems to be the one that is
some energy, can move the ball, right. He's passing it. Yeah, there's movement.
Yeah, he sees there's four guys on one side of the floor and moves to the other side. Simple little basketball things that seem to be an issue over and over again. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure Tom's the guy to sit in that situation. I live, breathe, and bleed Husker basketball. My teenage son does as well. I'm grateful for Husker basketball because it gives me a guaranteed 2 to 4 hours every week with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And am I disappointed and frustrated as a fan? Absolutely. Are the players 100,000 times more frustrated than that? My heart breaks for the kids. And if they're not giving effort, I don't get it. But I just know that this is super disappointing for them as well. If a change has to be made, a change has to be made. You know, I guarantee you they've talked to Ty. I'd love to have them talk to Eric Musselman if that's going to be the case. But I don't have answers. I'm going to continue to support this team as I always do. And I'll support whoever's coaching. And we'll continue to show up. But it's not pretty right now.
Moose, good work. Good on you for going. And that's it, man. You're as a Nebraska basketball fan, you have choices, right? And some of you are done with this team this year. Some of you are still sticking with it like Moose. You're going. It's family outing. And you go and you enjoy. Kids aren't trying to do this. They're just inept right now. They are afraid. They are afraid to take and miss a shot. Because they don't want to be the reason for losing, okay? And Moose alluded to the coaching discussion. Well, let's go get this guy. Let's go get that guy. Hey, I'm not saying that there doesn't need to be a change. I'm saying if you do make a change, you better damn well make sure you finally get the right guy. Because this has been constant swings and misses with previous coaches. At least Miles has gotten you to an NCAA tournament. And I know there's a lot of Miles haters out there right now. It's easy to pile on when you're tanking, and he has tanked before, right? 2014, 2015. That's why Moose said, I'm not giving you a check, bro. Good on Moose for that. Prove it to me. Question is out there, do you make a change before the end of the year? Bill Moose's policy is to wait till the end of the year. And I'm going to say no. This is Tim Miles' roster. This is Tim Miles' seventh year. This is Tim Miles' offense. And you kind of lay in the bed you make. I was the same way with Riley. Here's the big difference. There's a monster difference between execution and quitting. Okay? Nebraska's guys checked out on Grandpa. Guys are still playing hard. Nebraska had a lead, for God's sake, 17-8 the first 4 minutes last night. They're still playing. They're just not getting directed in what to do. They're not executing for him either. They're not making shots. So it's a two-way street with that. But it's a coach's job to get guys to perform or find guys that will perform. And sitting Thomas Allen is not smart. Okay, just no. That's your future. Everybody else here that's an upperclassman is gone. I don't know if Roby's gone, but you get my point. The seniors right now are the ones that are too mentally fragile to forge through this. Teams are going to lose games in a league as just vicious as the Big Ten. But I've heard for three games right now this woe's me fetal position about how it's mental. Maybe it is. Great. But suck it up and go play. Your job's to get him to be free and dribbling the freaking basketball around with nobody cutting. I lost my mind. And I finally had a breaking point, right? I usually don't care. But I'm watching the same offense where someone's dribbling around. No one's making a cut through. There's no pass if someone does cut. And we're taking the same stupid shot contested. And you wonder why you shoot 20%. You wonder why you shoot 30%. You wonder why Your three-point percentage is god-awful. People know what you're going to do, and they stop you, and they know you have no answer. You'll start the game well. They'll adjust to you. They'll clamp down, and then you're done. Look at the runs Nebraska's been giving up. Look at the runs that Wisconsin had, a 14-0 run. You had a 15 spot last night. Illinois. I mean, Nebraska has shown fight. They show the ability. They just don't make the shots when they need to. They're not making plays, and there's no offhand choice B, okay? Let's talk Nebraska football for a second. We'll get to John here in a minute. You know, Nebraska was going to figure out a way to do their thing. Their identity was to run the football, beat the hell out of you, get after your quarterback, ball game. And if it wasn't working, let's just, for example, pluck out the 98 Orange Bowl where Tennessee had 1,000 NFL dudes at the line of scrimmage. What happened? Scott Frost decided to do some bootleg action and find Sheldon Jackson. You found a way to open up the run game that was your bread and butter. Find a way to open up your scores. They made Roby a focal point last night, 12 of the first 15. Then Maryland adjusted, and there was no one else ready. Because this offense is, its intent is to be unpredictable. You can't stop it. You've got better dudes than defenders, and they're going to go make a play for you. All well and good until there's no one there that is dependable enough to hit open shots. They don't do it and can't do it, and they're worried about doing it. We'll hear from Tim Miles coming up. Let's get to John on Hail Varsity Radio. John, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I got a couple points. One, as the season progressed, I had the impression, or I just had the gut feeling that we were disinterested even before Cope's interest or injury, all but about two games. I just didn't feel like I just felt like something was missing. And then when the injury came, I think it exposed some of that. Secondly, when our guy gets stomped on his chest and none of his teammates does anything about it, that's a problem. I don't know what exactly it is, but that team is sick, and I don't know why.
And I can tell you why, because the culture you have right now, John, is – let's go bring in a bunch of high-level talent guys, however we got to get them here. Very few four-year guys. The four-year guy you have, Glenn, is shaking in the corner right now. Okay, bless his heart for shooting after the game, trying to get out of the funk. He's got the right attitude, but he's just he's and thanks for hanging on. Listen, you have no second option. There's no accountability with if guys aren't performing well, they're going to be replaced. And you have guys that have left. You're hanging your hat on getting transfer guys to come in and be elite. But their bigger picture is them, not us, the team. They want to get to the next level. Petaway, Pitchford, Siobhan, Palmer, Copeland, Andrew White. They want to go to the league. This is a stopping spot before they do that. If they win a few games, great. If not, let's showcase it. And yeah, Borkart is the heart and soul and the hard worker and the salt of the earth. And his teammates, I think, respect him. But yeah, where was somebody getting in Bruno's face? Unless they were just afraid of Bruno. And clearly, based on his stat line, they were. I'm rambling here, but there's no answer nor excuse for Nebraska last night to get just pounded by 15 when you're up. And this is on the basketball coach. The guys need to shoot better. He needs to find ways to get them to score better. And the offense they're running has been a bleep show for six games because there's no plan B. Plan A right now is shut your eyes and throw it up. And as far as his future at Nebraska, he's still 13-10, and I know he's 3-9 in league. I just don't know if they win a game. They lost out 2 years ago after they started 3-0. All right? They hit a monster iceberg the second year of the Pettaway era. So this is shouldn't be shocking. I thought they were too good to fail, too big to fail, with all the talent coming back. And this is on their head coach and his offense, period. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Let's squeeze one more in real quick as Parker Gabriel's coming up. We may have the callers hang on to the other side of the break. We'll have Bo Reed coming up in less than an hour. Get his take on the state of Nebraska basketball. Brandon Vogel is coming up. We'll hear from Tim Miles. I mean, Tim means well. He wants to win. He's treating kids the right way. Allegedly. But it's all the buttons have caused more of a fire than sparked a result.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More of your thoughts and calls on Nebraska basketball. Tim Miles, that embarrassment last night. We say hi to Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star, to talk some football. Parker, what's good? How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Just enjoying the post-signing day glow, you know.
That's right, man. You can take a breath. We'll get there in a minute, but you come from Big Ten territory, and I want your quick take on Nebraska basketball. And I know you know Wisconsin hoops, and they've been good for two decades. And they're not always sexy, but they're effective. And they got a big guy that can pass, and they got four shooters, and they play defense, and they're gritty, and they go to the NCAA tournament. Sometimes they get to a Final Four. It's phenomenal. Is that recipe that hard to duplicate? I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a way it is. I think every place is unique. You know, it's a lot different than football just because of the number of kids you're talking about and the way recruiting high schoolers works with the AAU circuits and all that. But I think it's about finding an identity and using that identity to your benefit, regardless of what it is. You know, like you say, you know, Wisconsin's got something that for the most part it works, and so does Michigan, and so does Villanova, and so do a lot of teams in the country. But you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's easy, and I think it takes work to cultivate that sort of identity too. And I think that people sort of thought that maybe Nebraska was getting to that point this year and all the way up until about New Year's, but it certainly has taken a turn for the worse, to say the least, the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's downright ugly and tough right now for Nebraska basketball fans. But never fear, spring football's just around the corner, signing day 2019. And what was your takeaway from Coach Frost and some of his comments from yesterday?
Well, he's a good enough evaluator to know that Maurice Washington's a better athlete than Sipple, so we got that out of the way, at least. But I thought the takeaway, generally speaking, was that he was in a good mood, you know, that by and large, I think they really like the class they have with 27 guys right now. I think that they, you know, they're planners sort of to the nth degree, and I think they feel like they've got a good plan for you know, with three scholarships in their back pocket, so to speak, to kind of go explore the transfer market over the next few months and keep an eye on that. And I think you could also tell that they're chomping at the bit to get to March 4th and get spring ball rolling.
I think you're right. I mean, the excitement level, just watching Frost and kind of his body language with it. I think he loves the attitude, doesn't he? He loves the attitude of the kids. They've been together a year, and even the early enrollees, they kind of seem to have a similar attitude towards Frost. The staff does a really thorough job of evaluating and then connecting, and it's character-based. And I think the staff and head coach Frost are so good about their organization. If you had to pick one of the 27 scholarship guys, who do you think was the hardest get for Nebraska? When you look at everybody in this class, what player did they just pour blood, sweat, and tears into more so than others? I mean, who was the hardest flip? Who was the hardest get, in your opinion, for Nebraska to land?
Yeah, I think obviously Wandale Robinson, given that he was committed to Kentucky for a month there, month of November, basically. Obviously, to get a kid who's that decorated and has that reputation out of his home state, when the home state school, Kentucky, is after him, and really putting the pressure on him to feel like he should stay home, that was obviously, I mean, Frost talked the other signing day about how he was, he was ready to pack that one in, and Ryan Held and Troy Walters kind of convinced him to stay after it. But I think that, I guess it's the ones that we've talked about before. I'd say that's probably it. But they had to fight tooth and nail for Noah Pola-Gates and Ty Robinson down there too. And I thought it was interesting to hear Frost talk yesterday about how hotly contested basically every single player that was available in January was. You saw that, obviously. They had seven guys in on official visits, and they got one in January, and that's sort of how I think a lot of schools probably felt that way after the last 6 or 7 weeks.
Parker Gabriel's with us, Sail Varsity Radio at Husker Extra. PG is where you follow him on Twitter. We're talking Nebraska and signing day. Another point I thought was interesting, and maybe Nebraska can be different moving forward with this than the rest of the college football programs out there. How about the idea of retaining quarterbacks, Parker? I mean, yeah, you have a guy like Adrian that's extremely talented, but you're still able to get Luke McCaffrey. You've got a guy already in for 2020. And do you think Nebraska is able to find, dare I say, that patient quarterback that wants to learn from Mario, from Frost? And maybe they're not okay with waiting or sitting, but they'll do it because of the upside?
Yeah, I think to some degree. I mean, I think that, they'll never admit it, and I don't even know, to what extent. But obviously, Luke McCaffrey's got 1 year of playing quarterback full time under his belt,
right?
And they're hell bent that he's going to be a college quarterback. I mean, that's what he's going to be. He's not moving positions. They've said it over and over again. But I think that his developmental arc, it's possible that it's a little different. I mean, Frost was, gushing yesterday about how fast he's picked up on things and the kind of athlete he is. So, maybe we're underselling that a little bit in terms of when you would think that he's, quote unquote, game ready. That's a different conversation entirely than, taking the starting job, obviously. But I don't know. I mean, I see your point, and I think that from a patient standpoint, Luke McCaffrey wants to be at Nebraska. He wants to learn from this coaching staff, so that's a plus, obviously. I think it helps to have a local kid like Noah Vedral in the program. He came back here because he wanted to be here. Obviously, he wants to play, but he came back here, and he'll, you think he's probably here for the long run. Andrew Bunch, we'll see what happens with him. He's in school now. He's going to be in spring ball. He's a walk-on, so I think that the mix they have right now is really good for that. But I think, you kind of have to push the ball really far ahead to think about what's next, right? I mean, Logan Smothers is committed for 2020. If he gets here a year from now, Martinez is going into his junior year. That's, now you're starting to see the post-Martinez. We're just getting started with Adrian Martinez, and that's where you start to look on the horizon of,
sure,
the post-Martinez era. And I think that's when things will get more interesting in that regard.
Are you surprised Nebraska finished as high as they did when you look at the rivals ranking and more importantly, the Big Ten landscape, finishing fourth in the Big Ten?
Not particularly. I mean, I think that some of that's because, I don't know the exact numbers, but some of that's because they took a lot of players. bigger class than some, with 26, I guess, you know, 26 guys that the recruiting sites would call commits, plus, you know, 27, including Darian Daniels, the graduate transfer. So not really. And then on top of that, you know, it's a staff that has a good, you know, good systems to sell. They've got great facilities to sell. You know, they've got the Nebraska tradition, obviously, but just between the staff and the style that they want to play, and the culture that they're building, all that, and then the facilities here, they've got so much to go on. I'm really not surprised that they're around the top 20, and I don't think it's, you know, going too far on a limb to suggest that that's, I mean, I think that's what people sort of expect going forward.
I think this, yeah, I mean, they'll do better, as good as they did this year. They'll do better when it comes to rankings. That's kind of the thought out there nationally, that, you know, Nebraska's just getting started. I know we've hit on some of the big names: Noah Pola-Gates, Ty Robinson, Wandale Robinson, McCaffrey. Is there another guy that maybe is not as hyped up that you're intrigued by or excited about?
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of them. I think it's a really interesting class, but the guy that I don't think gets talked about very much is Ramir Johnson, the running back from New Jersey. I know at least one of the recruiting services has him as a four-star guy. He's been committed since May. You know, he committed before really the big run on commits started. He was one of the earliest guys in the class, and then he, in his first year as sort of a featured back at a powerhouse school in Bergen Catholic, he had a huge senior year, and I think a lot of teams came after him, and he never took a visit. He never wavered. He's been locked in with Nebraska the whole time. Not only that, but he's got legitimate track speed, and he's stepping in this summer to a position group that doesn't have a lot set in stone after Maurice Washington. Obviously, Dedrick Mills is coming in this summer too, but he's the kind of guy who, you know, when he's getting reps midway through camp and Ryan Held is in front of all of us saying, yeah, Ramirez is really going to help us this year, I think people are going to look around and go, how did we not put these dots together, you know, before this point of things? And so I'm at least making the effort now to I've sort of pegged him as a guy that would just, if you look at the combination of skill set and depth chart, he's a guy, like a lot of them, that's going to have an opportunity, I would think, early on.
You know, get me more running backs from New Jersey. That's what I'm saying.
Just there's been some pretty good ones, haven't there, Ben?
Yeah, and I mean, you have Dane, Noshon Moreno, of course, Mike Rozier, Doug DeBoe. I mean,
both Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, thank you. Boom, boom. I mean, yeah, go to the Garden State and hook Nebraska fans up with Jersey backs. Speaking of backs, Ziggy, no combine invite. His Twitter handle and tweet just said, all good, he'll make do with it, but Stanley is going to the combine. Should Ziggy have gotten the nod? He I think he had a pretty good Senior Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And so there was I can't remember the exact number. I think there's about 30 running backs, and that includes fullbacks, I suppose, invited to the combine. He wasn't one of them. I know that he and his people were kind of, they were optimistic, I think, after the East-West Shrine game, that he had done enough that week to get an invite to the combine. And it's not impossible. I mean, you know, every year there's a little bit of movement on that list in the next 4 weeks. So obviously if he gets an offer at the last second, I'm sure that he would, you know, he would go and participate. But I was a little bit surprised, but I guess not altogether shocked, because I knew that as of, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he didn't have an offer in hand, and there's a lot of kids around the country that at that point already did.
Parker, thanks for the time today. Great to chat, bud.
Yep, anytime, Schmidt. Thanks. Right.
There he is, Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star. You can follow him. Do so on Twitter at Husker Extra PG. More Husker basketball on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Parker Gabriel. Great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. 20 minutes away, Bo Reed will join us, give us his take on the state of Nebraska basketball. As a Nebraska basketball fan, are you done? Have you been done? Or are you still showing up? Purdue is Saturday. I don't know what type of run you can put together, but can you stop this bleeding? It's in a full four-alarm hemorrhage right now. There's no sugarcoating it, and it's been your offensive woes. And can you figure out a way to just get some shots to drop? Get to the free throw line. Get to the rim. Easier said than done. 21%. Ugh. He didn't even break 50, for God's sake. It's rough to be a Nebraska basketball fan. You feel for the players. Some of you feel for the coach. Others do not. I want to remind you about Madonna Therapy Plus. They'll help you return to sports or work activities. And students, you'll get back to school after experiencing a concussion. If you or someone you know has not had a full recovery, it's a Madonna Therapy Plus. Madonna.org is where you can log on. And if you like to run, the Run Well program with Madonna Therapy Plus, designed to keep runners healthy and performing at their best by getting to the root of the problem, video analysis, and a comprehensive evaluation. Check out Madonna Therapy Plus today. Three locations in Lincoln, one in West Omaha. Ted's on the line. Ted, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Smitty. I just wanted to weigh in on the Miles situation. One of the things that you, when you were talking about earlier about University of Wisconsin and how they have a formula, what they tend to do and what Iowa tends to do is they bring in guys that maybe aren't four-star recruits, and they develop and develop and develop. And by the time they're here 3 and 4 years, they're good ball players, but they're system ball players, and they play together as a team. Miles has not developed anyone, as far as I can tell. As a matter of fact, some of them seem to go backwards.
How's Glenn's senior year going compared to his freshman and sophomore year?
Right, that's my point. I mean, he was showing a lot of promise, and he was moving in the right direction in the beginning, but he's a good ball handler, but he came in with a lot of skills. He's a four-star player. He's not leaving better than he came.
Mm-mm. That's coaching, man. That's absolutely coaching, and that's development, and you're right. It's okay to have a system. Ted, thanks for calling, man. Appreciate you tuning in. Yeah, what's your identity and philosophy? We're back to this discussion, but it's basketball now. And you're finally sick and tired of seeing what you're sick and tired of seeing on offense. Guys bust their butt defensively. They're trying, but there's just no hope. And there's no answer from your head coach. Okay? I mean, it's easy to get in line, get a sharp object, and pile on Miles. Okay? It just is. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because, I mean, last night, finally had you screaming. Last night finally had, wind chill or not, there was only 10,000 and change for a ranked Maryland team that sucks on the road. Mm-hmm. And I've answered the question. You're done. You're done as a Nebraska basketball fan. But if you're done right now, stay done. All right? If they, in typical Nebraska basketball fashion, surprise you, good or bad, mm-hmm. The door's locked. If you're off the bandwagon with this team, that's your prerogative. If you're frustrated as all get out, but you still want them to win and you're cheering, great, stay on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. But that's been the problem, man. As soon as there's the first sniff of something wrong, it gets so cloudy and toxic that it can bear down on the kids in the program. That's very real. So you can't just pump sunshine all the time. But it wasn't that long ago you were beating Indiana, and you were right there with Michigan State. The head coach has to have answers offensively for his guys against opposing defenses. Wisconsin's good. Maryland is not, defensively, typically. And they're not good on the road. And you get owned. And I mean, and the chicken's coming home to roost over 7 years of missteps with your roster construction and offensive identity. Mm-hmm. And it's been, let's get the flashy dude that is high level, kind of on the rebound, and hope they'll be a good teammate or you're able to play with other teammates. It's not that the guys in here are bad people. They're not. But they've gone from just taken awful shots, too afraid to shoot in some instances. I mean, your guards have been killing you. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest indictment on Tim Miles right now, is you have guys that are at the skill level of a Palmer, of a Glenn, freshman, sophomore year Glenn, of a true gem in Roby. And they not only are not winning games and not shooting well and not performing well, but they are regressing. And you found a way, whether you meant to or not, to screw them up. If you've got a great talent, your job, first and foremost, as a coach, is to not screw them up. And this team screwed up. Maybe they bought too much into the hype. Maybe they're worried about failure. Do we have to? I'm really not in the mood. I don't want to talk to John. Thanks for calling, John. Send an email, chris@halevarsity.com. That's where we're going. That's like 10 minutes of my life I'll never get back. I can't do it. Can't do it. Sorry. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Your thoughts on Nebraska basketball here. We'll hear from Tim Miles. Another guy that really needs to spend some time doing him is Kevin Durant. We'll have thoughts on that. Let's go to Nick. Let's get Nick on the horn. Nick, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Kind of chime in on the 10 miles thing. Just sometimes it's unfortunate where, like you said, it's not like we got bad kids and Miles is not a bad guy or anything like that. But sometimes, especially with teenagers and young 20 somethings, sometimes it just takes a different voice. You know, sometimes it just takes a different.
It's got to be a consistent. Tim, it's got to be a consistent voice. And I don't know how consistent that voice has been. You know what I mean?
For sure. Exactly. And then sometimes when you're always kind of when things are going down and out, it seems like it's pretty easy to kind of start piling on. It's one thing after another. And unfortunately, you never want to kind of try to, you know, I mean, everybody can throw Miles under the bus mm-hmm. and whatnot. And
that's easy.
Doing the same
that's
thing.
Easy.
It's easy to do. But sometimes, you know, the inevitable is, hey, we're going to try a different route where Moose comes in and says, you know, thanks for your time. Thanks for your service. But we're going to go a different route. Hopefully our kids will respond a little bit better for the next guy, whoever that's going to be.
Tim, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. Let's squeeze in one more. Or do you want to hang it to the other side? Why don't we get him locked in and more of your calls on Nebraska basketball. Where you at? Are you done? Are you holding pat? Are you wait and see? Not with the season of the NCAA tournament, but just your support of the team. I hope you're still cheering for the kids. Really, I do. And if you like Miles, keep liking Miles. And he should be able to finish out the year. He might pull a rabbit or two. Doubtful.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
10 minutes away, Husker Hall of Famer Bo Reed will sound off on Nebraska basketball. Still room for you. 5 minutes here. And room in the 5 o'clock hour with Hail Varsity, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Chris@HailVarsity.com. Can tweet, too, @Schmidt_radio, @2birds1stone with 80s action star Colton Stone. One last thought here on this discussion about how bad it is, whether or not Moose pulls the trigger now or at the end of the year. You can't do it now. Because then you're in an interim mess if they do pull a miracle off. You can't tell him now that you're gone and then say they respond and win out. Crazy talk, I understand. But say they find a way to get to the tournament. I mean, just they've done it before, man, where they went 9-1. And it's not like they don't have some big pelts that they can hang on the wall looming in their schedule. So you just let this thing play out. And I mean, the proof's right there. All the evidence you need to make a change, if you want to make a change, is gathering before your eyes every tip-off and every 9-minute scoring drought and every 45-point performance, injury or not. Case is being made for you. Steve from West Point. Let's go to West Point. Steve, we got a couple minutes here. Go ahead. Steve, you're on. Go ahead.
I just wanted to bring up Michigan State game. This team has kind of gone down. And what's really troubling to me is you may not be able to hit jump shots, but they're less than 50% around the rim, and free throws are running about 50%. So that's kind of discouraging.
They're afraid to miss. They are afraid to miss is the problem. Thanks for the call. Yeah, they're garbage at the rim. They're bad at the free throw line. And the guys don't want to be the reason that they screwed a possession. Got to step forward, man. You got no leadership right now. Someone's got to be the leader. His name is Tim. And quit talking about just the mentality of the team. Figure it out as the head coach. Here is Tim Miles. And this is who the kids are looking toward. They need an answer right now because they've not been able to provide an answer to one another through these last six games. They've been in all of them, right? And they've dug themselves quite a hole in a few of them, but they've fought back. Here is Coach Miles about the struggles at home, and he is heartbroken for the kids.
If I told you we were 20-4 in our last 24, we'd think that's pretty good, but it stinks. So I hate it. I just feel so bad for our fans. Just feel awful. And I feel awful, really awful for our players because, I told them a long time ago, I'm not going to let you fail. And it hurts. It's hard.
That's powerful because he does care about those kids. He cares about Glenn. Glenn's the guy who said yes from Chicago. And it's not gone the way anyone wanted it to because you've caved under pressure. You're awesome when no one sees you coming and when you're expected to be a freight train. You can't handle it. That is mentality and that's your head coach. So he's got to shake himself and be a leader right now or you're going to lose out. Bo Reed's up next, hour two of Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska basketball, they are reeling. Let's talk about it. Husker Hall of Famer, standout with Nebraska basketball, Bo Reed back with us. Bo, how long ago does that Michigan State talk feel like? You go from that moment, post-Indiana to Michigan State to now. How have you been dealing with this?
Well, my fears going into the Michigan State game and the Big Ten schedule, as a whole, unfortunately, have kind of come to fruition. Our lack of outside shooting has led to people being able to play a certain style of defense against us and grind us into a half court. And we haven't had the ability to force the tempo into an up-tempo game to get easy baskets. And so when you grind us into that half court, we don't have that pure shooter to pull people out of the paint. And we've got guys like Palmer that have to get all the way to the rim to truly be effective. And when he can't, we really struggle to get baskets because the calls that they give him at the rim, they don't give him 10 feet away from the basket. And so it's just been a snowball effect. I mean, go back to that Michigan State game. Copeland alone had three three-pointers that rattled around and came out. All three of them looked like they were in. And, I mean, if we hit three or four threes in that game at timely, moments, that game could have been our game. Mm-hmm. We played well enough to win that basketball game, and we just didn't shoot the ball well. And now, unfortunately, it's like there's a lid on the basket.
Bo Reed's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Bo, I want to get your thoughts here as a guy that's been in a locker room and been in tough seasons and been in great seasons. the roller coaster, as we call it. That's what this has been, and you're screaming down, right? I mean, that's how this looks right now. From a confidence standpoint, did you ever lose your confidence? And B, what got you out of a funk? Because right now Nebraska's talking out loud about just this confidence, this mental issue, this all these things that are the problem, but no one's stepping up to solve it.
The challenge is when you're winning, nobody questions who's going to take the big shot. Nobody questions someone who comes down without there being any passes to anyone else on offense and kind of breaks someone down one-on-one and goes to the rim. When you're losing, all of a sudden, all of those decisions are under a microscope and people start pointing fingers and saying, well, you know, it's not my fault. And it's a challenge to overcome that because the very people that are your leaders and the ones that are making plays and creating opportunities when things are going well, it just seems like those things, if they don't go well when things are going poorly, people have a 180-degree different perspective on whether or not that player is creating things or playing selfishly. And if the locker room gets negative, then, you know, guys are scared to take shots because they don't want to miss and they don't want people thinking that they're taking bad shots. And it's just, it feeds on itself. Just like, you know, Tim's had a couple of teams where the momentum was positive. Petaway's, you know, I think sophomore year, you know, we had a couple months in the Big Ten that were just unbelievable. And then last year, the same kind of thing. People couldn't deal with us. The problem is the thing that makes us so good and creates that positive momentum is our lack of predictability because we don't run a patterned offense. We don't run a lot of structure. We kind of spread the thing out and let people create and kick. When those three-point jump shots that are wide open aren't going in, that offense becomes, it grinds to a halt. And so the very thing that makes us hard to defend and hard to prepare for becomes very easy to stop. I mean, if you look at Tim's record against Tom Izzo, it's actually pretty darn good. And a lot of that's because Izzo can't really game plan for Coach Miles because Tim has kind of this you know, unpredictable, wide open structure. And, you know, when you don't have a very set play that he can guard a specific way and force the ball to a specific place, it becomes just a basketball game. And then, you know, we were in that game and we beat them on their home floor a few years ago. We've beaten them in our gym before. And it's just unfortunate that the jump shooting capability of this team has really just, as they've gone into the shooting slump, kids have clearly lost their confidence. They're not shooting the ball to make it anymore. They're shooting it, hoping it goes in. And, you know, I think if you ever talk to someone like an Eric Piatkowski, he never took a shot he didn't think was going in. He wasn't hoping it's going in. He could miss 10 in a row. He thinks his next 10, he's due to make because he's going to shoot 50%. He never loses that faith that he can shoot the ball. And we've got kids that, you know, were shooting the ball pretty darn well early in the season, and then it's just as things have gotten tighter and they've lost a few games, so there's pressure. And, you know, there's always one or two possessions where you think, oh, that's a wide open three, we got to make that, and it doesn't go in, and then it just kind of steamrolls. And so that's the same thing that allowed us to go on these tremendous runs in the Big Ten when no one expected it is the same thing that's hurting this basketball team, is we don't have any structure to fall back on to get us a basket when we give up a 15-0 run to Maryland last night.
How do you get that consistency? Shouldn't there be a contingency if the four out offense isn't working? Because I mean, I'm not a basketball expert. Obviously I cover the team. I look at what this program is. I grew up going to Nebraska games, so I know how good it's been, and I've seen the bad, and it doesn't feel like there's a happy medium. And I don't know that Tim can ride it and get these guys going. I mean, shots got to drop, yes, but okay, what's a plan B here to have some structure, or is there a plan B? Because the offense is, it's been so hard to watch because no one's moving, no one's cutting. It's ISO ball, and then it's an awful shot, and there's no rebound.
Yeah, and I think this team is built to spread the floor and play that kind of basketball, and we don't have a prototypical big guy that can score in the paint. So it's difficult to run two-man games on that side of the floor. We don't have a pure shooter that we can start running an Indiana offense and run them off a million screens that creates dribble drive opportunities for other people. You know, we really've got five kids that kind of play the game the same way, with the exception of Tanner. And, you know, as good as Tanner's been and as hard as that kid's played and the contributions he's made, he's not the kid that's going to post up down there and give you 15 points with his back to the basket. It's just not. And so, unfortunately, I don't think there is a huge plan B. We've got a, you know, near as I can tell, our only chance is to try to influence the momentum and the pace of the game into the 70s and 80s by pressing and maybe giving up some easy baskets by gambling and kind of trying to create a frenzied pace. Because in a half-court setting, unless we start making some shots, we don't have those guys that can go down into the paint and score over 6'10", 6'11", these big, thick dudes that are space eaters, you know. So, it's unfortunate because I think it takes one or two shots to drop and a couple things to get going the right way, and a lot of losses could have turned into victories.
Bo Reed's with us, Husker Hall of Famer, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska basketball. When you look at Nebraska, and there's still plenty of season left, it doesn't feel like as much of an opportunity as more of a death march right now because of how these guys are going. I'm wondering here, when it comes to Coach Miles, and you hear the noise out there about his job security, what's, you know, with Bill Moose, and the players hear that and they're tensing up about it. I mean, what can he be? What can Miles do here to calm his guys? And I also want to ask you about playing for your coach. And Coach Miles got emotional last night at the end of his press conference. He hurts for his kids. I mean, he's sincere about it. Do you remember a moment where Coach Knee got emotional and you guys responded the right way because of it?
I don't know if I remember that. I mean, my junior year was probably as close as, you know, it got when I was injured and Farmer was sitting out and Chubbuck and Piakowski were redshirting. And there were some whispers that year. And I don't think Coach Knee ever pushed the panic button because he was watching practice and he knew the kind of talent that he had coming in. And so I think that the kids are playing hard for Tim. I do. I don't think anybody's laying it down. But I don't think that it's fair to expect kids to play for their coach. I think the best thing that Coach Miles can do for them is to set them free, to let them know that they have zero to lose at this point, because most people have written them off. And, you know, at this point, they should focus on playing a style of basketball that enables these kids to have fun and play loose and play free, because the pressure and the grind it's not working for this group of kids. Without Copeland to be the guy that hits the big shot to stop the other team's runs, we just don't have that guy on the floor anymore. And we're just going to have to figure out a way to create more possessions and get after people full court and change the dynamics of the game, because any game that's in the 60s, I don't like our chances to win that basketball game. We just don't shoot the ball well enough, and we can't get points in the paint when we need them. So we got to get the game up into the 70s and 80s and take our chances that most teams don't want to play that fast. The challenge with that is we don't have a ton of depth. So we're going to have to trust the kids to play some minutes that haven't played very many minutes.
Bo, last thought here, and thanks for your time and insight, man. Always love talking hoops with you. Just the big picture of the Nebraska job, because that is going to be a focus point media-wise of, you know, if there is a move made, and I don't like saying that in February, What's the Nebraska job to you as far as difficulty to attract the right guy?
Well, I think, you know, just the history would suggest that it's not an easy job.
Mm-hmm.
The facilities would suggest that it's potentially a diamond in the rough job. It's hard to speculate on that, Chris. I feel like we could just as easily be talking about the NCAA tournament this year with a couple of different bounces of the ball. So it's hard to sit and speculate about what the job is and what it means. I think anyone who's been affiliated with the program believes that the Nebraska basketball job is a good job. And the resources and the facilities are there. And, you know, I think it's whatever happens, if the kids rally and Tim continues to be the guy leading the charge, which I hope is what happens, I think it's critical that we create an identity of who we are and what we stand for. And it's similar to, you know, when you look at how our football program gravitated towards like West Coast offense and drop back passing. And, you know, I think you've got to have an identity of who you are, and certain kids identify with that identity and want to play and be part of that. And, you know, I think Wisconsin's done probably the best job of that, both on basketball and football.
Sure.
They said, we're going to play basketball this way. And they recruit to that style of basketball, and they fill their cupboard, and they continue to believe and sustain that. And they've built consistency into the model. I'm not sure Coach Miles had that luxury when he got here. And so he had to kind of, I know Coach Knee used to have a saying, he said, hey, you know, I'm not Father Flanagan. I need parts. You know, I need players. And so he also used to like to say, you know, I'm trying to have a circus and I need animals. And so, you know, it's one of those things where Coach Miles is trying to, you know, adapt to the talent that he has, and he's trying to get the best available players. And people may not want to hear this, but, you know, building a basketball program is not a 3 or a 4 year process. It's probably a 6 year process. And, you know, I think that Nebraska basketball job is a good basketball job. I think Coach Miles would tell you it's a good job. And like I said, we could just as easily be sitting here talking about an impending NCAA tournament berth, and it's not completely dead yet. It's just, it seems unlikely given the way that we're shooting the ball and what's happening. But I feel for those kids. You can tell Coach Miles cares about those kids, and then they're playing hard for him. It's just the Copeland injury hurts more than people know. That kid made a lot of big shots. He was quietly our go-to guy when games got tight and when possessions mattered.
Bo, awesome to catch up, man. We'll do this again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Husker Hall of Famer Bo Reed, thanks for him. Thanks to him for joining us here on Hail Varsity Radio. That's so big. I mean, Cope would always be the guy that would catch and shoot. They'd run a play for him, and he'd hit a big shot. That's 1,000% right. It's Colton, we were talking too, man, that with Miles, and I don't think anybody thinks he's back, but say he is, when you've just got this cycle of, all right, you're a favorite, and now you're an underdog. And you do well when you're an underdog, but you can't handle it when you're a favorite because you've got talent that's waiting to be eligible, and you've got talent on this roster. But what's talent? What good is talent if it's not developed and it can't produce for you?
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Terry, I'm here.
7 minutes into this second half, and Maryland has reasserted its control. Off eight, and then Fernando plowing his way to the basket, knocking Borchardt down, and Tim Miles is livid. He wanted a foul called on Fernando. There was none, and Tim Miles almost went under the basket on the other end.
You're still angry about that one. Bruno going Leitner, maybe not, on Tanner Borchardt. Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio. We say hi to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, when you hear the name Bruno, do you think of the movie star Bruno or do you think of Bruno Mars?
Probably the movie star.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think that's a more fitting representation of our age there, Schmitty.
I know. And there was outrage last night with that play and no review. And do you have a theory? We'll get into some football and signing day, but we got to start with Nebraska basketball. Why does it always seem that Nebraska's a day late and dollar short, no pun intended, when it comes to getting or receiving calls in Big Ten basketball?
I don't know. I mean, you tend to get those on your home floor a little more frequently than on the road. And Nebraska checked that box last night and still didn't get it. You know, I don't know, other than officials are human and sort of subject to all the same cognitive biases that anyone else is. And I think, you know, when you have a team that clearly isn't playing very well right now, it's kind of hard to give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes. I mean, I don't think any official goes into a game with that sort of mindset in place. It's just can be there, you know, and you can think back all the way to like watching youth basketball games when one team's like clearly outmatched or struggling. You know, I think there becomes a impetus for the rest not to bail them out in some cases. And well, Nebraska, unfortunately, was in that spot in a big way last night.
You're not good enough to win anyway, so we're not going to give you any breaks.
I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, that strong, but kind of. I mean, you know, those things tend to happen, like particularly in games where I think there are runs going on, like an official has to make the call that he sees first and foremost. But for those borderline calls, you know, it would surprise me if there wasn't a little sort of voice in your head saying, hey, I'm not going to be the guy that stops this run, because it's just kind of, it feels like an undue influence, you know, on how the game itself is going. And, you know, with Nebraska and its inability to score of late, there've been a lot of games lately where there have been some pretty significant runs.
That's just it, where you're up. You're up 7, 8, 9 points, and then there's a double-digit spot put up on you with a scoring drought mixed in and foul trouble and 20% shooting. And, you know, you want them to keep playing hard, but they are a mess emotionally and mentally. And they just got to keep working, and that's going to be Tim Miles' job here moving forward. You still have 8 league games left. You have big name and game opponents. I know you're undermanned, but you are good enough to be in it and go try and take some. It's just not going that direction. I want your thoughts here on Bill Moose and Tim Miles, and the ideas out there that maybe Moose could make a move, or would you blame Moose? Better way to say it: would you blame Moose for making a move right now versus waiting till the end of the year? And I think you should stick to your guns. This is completely different than Mike Riley, and you let Riley finish it out. See if you can get it turned around, and then make a hard call if you have to make a hard call at the end of the year. That's kind of where I come from. But right now, it looks unfixable.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, I don't know if there's any coach, you know. I mean, what Nebraska's up against is tough, just in terms of the bodies that they have, the league that they're in this particular year. You know, what's happened of late, I don't think is the truest indication of where this program was at, obviously coming into the year, of course, but you know, you can't say it's totally irrepresentative either. So I think for Moose, there would be little advantage to saying, well, yeah, it's going to be hard for us to pull out of this, so we'll just do this now. Because he said, you know, that's kind of the way he operates, is to wait until the end of the year. But I don't think it gives you that big of an advantage even if you do feel like you're going to be in the coaching market here in the near future.
What do you think of Nebraska's signing day? It's official yesterday. I think Nebraska finished with a composite ranking, what, of 21, something like that, 14 in Rivals. Number one in the West, just behind Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State. I kind of got a kick out of Coach DiNardo, and even Rick Pizzo was with us yesterday. Just wowed that Frost already has Nebraska this high.
Yeah, you know, I think it feels like kind of a little bit of a baseline, or at least I think that's the hope, because if you look at Nebraska over the past 4 years or so, you know, that's kind of right around where they average out, you know, a couple of spots higher. And that's good coming off a 4-8 season. That said, you know, you always have a little bit of momentum early in a coaching tenure too. So all things considered, I think Nebraska got some really good players that fill some pretty clear needs for them. And they've also, you know, I think this is kind of one thing that's emerging as we're just now in our second year with an early signing period. It seemed like they were on schedule. You know, Frost talked a little bit about that yesterday, about how behind you are when you start and how they still feel about a half cycle behind. Well, if you look at it in the context of the Big Ten, you know, they were kind of right there with everybody else other than Maryland, which brought in a new coach and had to sign a bunch of guys late. Most of the teams in the Big Ten just added one or two guys. You know, it wasn't teams in that league, at least, making big moves from late December into early February. So I think that's a good overall health check for recruiting so far.
What position group are you most excited about with this class? Because, I mean, you've got five linebackers, four DBs, four defensive line, four O-line, three wideouts, three running backs, two athletes, a quarterback, and a tight end.
Yeah, I think skill position players probably have your most immediate impact. And, you know, so those are the guys that are pretty fun to focus on right away at first. I really like the offensive line class that they brought in, and I think, you know, it's going to be instrumental in what Nebraska is eventually able to become. We know it takes a little bit longer on those, so you kind of are looking at guys with an eye towards their long-term future, and I think it's pretty promising on that end. And I'd put the defensive backs in that group too. Like, there's some guys that I really like. Miles Farmer is one of my favorite guys in the class. Nebraska has some bodies there. That's a position where, you know, if you're a special athlete, you can get on the field early. So we'll see if there are any of those guys in there. But I think it's in those two positions, offensive line and defensive back, I think their long-term outlook's pretty promising, at least based on my evaluation of those guys.
You know what? And think about the complementary football they can play. We've been whining about pass rush here for a couple of years. And you get guys that can get after the quarterback, get developed into getting after the quarterback and also stopping the run. And then you get some help on that back, you know, that back four. If you work together, man, things look pretty nice, don't they? When you get after the quarterback and you have time to get after the quarterback because of coverage, and you have time to make some picks because of the pressure. I mean, that'd be ideal.
Yeah, it would. And, you know, I feel like this class is a little bit of a model of what it could be at Nebraska. I mean, in my opinion, like, they're going to go out, they're going to have interest from some really good running backs and receivers. This offense is going to make whoever comes in, whoever they select, a pretty successful player most of the time at those positions. And I think you put quarterback in that group too, frankly. What you're looking for then is most of the difference makers being on defense. Like, if you had to say, okay, fill in your five slots, you get the five best players, where are you going to put them? For me, I might put at least three of those in most years in defense, because I just think you need sort of some playmakers on that side. And I think they got some of those guys when you look at a player like Jackson Hanna or Farmer, who I already mentioned. So I liked the overall breakdown between offense, defense, and this group.
Spend a second here. We don't have a ton of time on Miles Farmer. I know he's a defensive back out of Atlanta. You know that region well. Is he a steal? I mean, is he just straight up a steal for Nebraska? You pair that with Travis Fisher.
Yeah, I feel like he might be. You know, the competition level in Georgia in general, but particularly in that Atlanta area, is so high. You know, those guys are going against multiple Power 5 athletes each and every week and playing with multiple Power 5 athletes. So Farmer has that part of it. You turn on his tape, and obviously the athleticism's there. He played safety. He really likes to hit people. You know, he played a little bit on offense too, but he just kind of has that football player gene too. You know, you look at him and you're like, okay, this guy's just a football player. You could put him anywhere, and you know, within limiting your time, I could put him at center. But other than that, like, and he'd give it his best there. But he's just one of those guys where you look at him and say, yeah, that guy plays football. And he'll be a success anywhere they want to put him when he gets here. And I think he'll be pretty open to wherever they want. But he was pretty good high school safety and in a pretty good league.
Vogues, before we say goodbye, about 30 seconds, what's coming up with Hail Varsity, man?
Yeah, so we'll continue to kind of look through that 2019 class and turn the page a little bit to 2020. I know Greg's got his updated big board coming for that class already here in the next couple of days, so that'll officially turn the page, I guess. And then hard at work on the February issue, which will feature another one of those guys that I put in the football category, football player category, and York's Garrett Snodgrass. So I'm excited for that.
Snodgrass, good stuff. Really awesome program at York. Vogues, thanks for jumping on. Thanks for a few minutes today. Good to chat.
All right, thanks a lot.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel. It's where you follow him on Twitter. Can read him, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Some new items for you to check out at Sauter Heyman. Rick and the gang have got you loaded up for Valentine's Day when it comes to pendants, diamonds, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, the gamut. Something for everyone. And items that just say romance. They scream romance. Stop by today for best selection. Sauter Heyman, your headquarters for Valentine's Day, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, out west in Grand Island this Valentine's Day.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We are winding through a Thursday, and I tell you what, with signing day all done, no more recruiting, it's time to relax a little bit, and you can go see Deb the Spa Lady and find a way to relax, whether you want a two-seater, a four-seater, or the jumbo. We're talking the swim spa, home innovation spots, 20th and Highway 2. Deb, how the heck are you?
I am great, Chris. Thank you. I'm glad we made it on tonight. We've had a little trouble lately. We were actually gone last Thursday. We were in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, how lucky was I to get to go to Fort Wayne? That's where the factory for Master Spas is. And the wind chill was minus 41. Mm. So we were really thrilled that they brought us there for sales training.
Well, on top, anyway, I mean, on top okay. of on top of Fort Wayne and then the wind chill, man. I mean,
I know. Two a double whammy. Uh-huh. But anyway, we did learn a lot. We got to see the new some parts of the new factory. That's the nice thing about Master Spas. They are made in the USA. So that's a big deal to us. So we've got the Master Spas. We've got the Cal Spas, which are also made in the USA. We're ready to go, and we are set up really at both the Lincoln Home Show and the Omaha Home Show.
You know what? And the Home and Garden Show is something that's cranked up the 8th through the 10th. I know in Lancaster Event Center is where you're going to be in Lincoln, and then the Omaha Show as well. Deb, give folks a thought here. Deb from Home Innovation Spas, Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln and off Industrial Road in Omaha, spasonline.com. Deb, if folks haven't been out to the Home and Garden Show, man, the setup you're going to have there is pretty incredible, isn't it?
It really is. There is a little of everything. There are some of the small tubs that you can plug into a 110 outlet, fill them up with a garden hose, and you're off and running. Clear up to the swim spa. We'll have a big 15-foot swim spa there, so you can actually see it in person, and you will be amazed at that. And then the six-person, seven-person, all the bells and whistles, and something fancy, something simple, we've got it all.
What you have is the key to relaxation, correct?
It really is. Anytime in your own backyard, anytime day or night, you don't have to go at a certain time. You can get up in the middle of the night, maybe your legs are cramping or whatever, and you can go out, hop in your hot tub, and then get back to sleep.
Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln's and off Industrial Road in Omaha, spasonline.com. Deb, give folks some times. You'll be out at that Home and Garden Show at the Lancaster Event Center in Lincoln.
Let's see. It starts tomorrow at 1, so it lasts tomorrow, Friday, 1 to 9, I believe, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 10 to 5. And up in Omaha, pretty much the same hours, both Friday, Deb, Saturday, Sunday.
Deb, I'm going to bother you tomorrow, too, if it can work out. And
That'd be great.
We'll check in with you on site at the the Home and Garden Show. Deb, you're awesome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, Chris. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
There she is, Deb, the Spa Lady. Going to be at the Lancaster Event Center Home and Garden Show, man. You want to see what that setup can look like? You can go see Deb. Stop in and see her. But you're also welcome to go check it out at the Home and Garden Show. You know who needs to relax? Freaking Kevin Durant. My kid's going to look back in his life, and we are going to look back shamefully as parents at some point and say, you know, we did a horse bleep job of parenting. Because the kid, my boy, loved KD. Mm-hmm. Took him to his restaurant. He's been to KD basketball camps because he's a spoiled little only child, okay? So long and short, the best thing, that's this, right? That's my kid liking KD. And the minute KD jumped to Golden State, Carson, it was the scene from Godfather 2 with Michael and Fredo, all right? You broke my heart, kid. Goodbye. Now, there's no fishing scene with Junior and Katie, which is good. But I need to know if there's anybody out there that still, like, you can admire his talent, mm-hmm. but the personality is so bad. Brett, the coach, emails in chris@halevarsity.com. Yes, you are a terrible parent.
No comment.
No, he's right. It is what it is. But Katie was absent, not speaking to the media, and then he spoke to the media today. I mean, I know the news today has been Anthony Davis is staying with the Pelicans, L.A. and LeBron and Luke Walton, and everyone's up in arms. Oh, no, it didn't happen. Good for the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, no, bro, we're going to over-ask, and you're either going to give us 7-1 ratio in value, or we're not doing this in our own conference.
Mm-hmm.
So here is Kevin Durant, and there's four parts to this, and yeah, we'll start with part one. But KD and the Golden State media, Golden State's reeled off championships. It's not real hard, but with free agency going on, it's a question. And when you don't show up, because you have been very volatile and quiet and petulant and immature, folks are going to worry. People start talking. There are murmurs out there. You need to put that fire out rather than let it spread. And he poured some gasoline on it.
They hadn't talked for a while. Is it anything to do with anything on your mind, or has it just been coincidence that you haven't talked for some time?
Why do you care?
Because you usually talk.
Well, and I feel like talking the last couple of days.
It was anything in particular?
No, I just didn't feel like.
Has anything to do with conversation about free agency?
Yeah, that's the conversation you're going to have. I don't think about that type of stuff. That's your job.
Okay. So, KD, very defensive off the get-go. Reporter saying, bro, where you been? You know, you are the defending champs. What's going on? And immediately he's just glaring at the media. More from KD.
You've obviously been around the noise for so long. Is it bothering you more this year? Is it louder this year?
It's unnecessary. You got to do Ethan Strauss, who come in here and just give his whole opinion on stuff and make it seem like it's coming from me. And he just walk around here, don't talk to nobody, just walk in here and survey and then write something like that. And now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day. Ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you grow up. Come on, bro. I come in and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
Don't worry about it. Make one broad sweeping statement. I will not address free agency. Yes, I'm a free agent. I'm currently with Golden State. I clearly can't carry a team by myself or with an MVP. I need multiple MVPs to win anything because I fold when there's adversity. That's all he needs to say. Then he's good.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Thursday. Good stuff today. Lots of thoughts on Tim Miles, Nebraska basketball, another tough loss. This team's mentality. And if they'll snap out of it. Is it, you know, six and counting? Or finally, is there a line in the sand where this team bucks up and just plays? About a season left. Appreciate your input on it. And the podcast will be up HailVarsity.com, iTunes. Bo Reed was phenomenal. Brandon Vogel's incredible. Parker Gabriel's tremendous. They all joined the show. And we'll have excerpts. The full Parker Gabriel interview is out on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. Also on the ESPN Lincoln In Demand. You can go to the website or the app, ESPN Lincoln app, and just check that bad boy out. Colton's going to rock out some of the greatest hits of today. More from Kevin Durant and his attempted stare down of the local media covering Golden State.
We're talking.
So, who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you because we got it loud and clear, at least most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't
so
go
what's
there.
What's the problem now?
No, just that you've been quiet and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on. And we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications. Try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem.
I don't trust none of you all. That's fair. Because the good ones don't make a inaccurate diagnosis of what's said and then take it out of context. You shouldn't. But if this is... There's got to be some... These guys at Golden State have sources. And the rest of the locker room probably wants to go Full Metal Jacket on KD with the bar of soap and the tube socks. Right? I mean, as big of a headache as Draymond is, he at least plays hard. KD's there to like... He's a lot like Nebraska basketball, man. When things are awesome, shots are going down, he's the man. But when it comes to like rough waters, he's afraid to fail. Last part here from Kevin Durant and his incineration of the media.
I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Have a good night.
What a freaking child. Don't ask me about free agency. Okay, how's the team? You don't care about it.
It's the silent, have a good night, just as he's walking out the door. They're right. He's right, though. I mean, if he says one thing about it, they'll find a way to twist it.
It can happen.
Yeah. But the good ones won't. You're right.
Be man enough to address it. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is... so worried and insensitive, or I should say not insensitive, he's so sensitive to what others think. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Enjoy your Thursday with Hail Varsity. Thank you.